Go ahead and open your Bibles, Gospel of John, chapter 15. Gospel of John, chapter 15. Gospel of John 15. Been talking about last Sunday, talking about abiding in Christ, and then tonight I want to talk about abiding in His precepts. Is this your Bible, brother? Don't lose that sword. In Gospel of John chapter 15, verses 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 10. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, he casts forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and ye shall be, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye abide in my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. And verse 10 is the text I want to talk to you tonight about. If ye keep my commandments, and ye shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. And I'm talking about abide in his precepts. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, Father, I pray you bless the reading of your word. Father, help us to grasp this truth of your teaching, Father, and have victory in life, be able to closer and be abiding in you, Father God, and have joy in our life, Father. Lord, now we need you, Father, I pray you to give me the power to speak in your word and your presence, Father. And Lord, hide me behind the cross that you may receive honor and glory, Father. But Father, challenge the hearts. You know the heaviness of the hearts of people's lives, Father. For there's many unspoken, there are many trials we all go through, Lord God. But Father, we are struggling, Lord, but we need to abide closer to you, Father. More I see and I read your word, Father, I know that we need to get closer and more closer to you so there's more joy in our life, Father. Now, Lord, I pray to challenge the hearts. Help me speak clearly. We ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. In verse 10, it's talking about if you abide in keeping my commandments. The secret joy of any people is to follow his precepts. Now, precepts is a command or mandates of writing. It's an authoritative rule of action. To obey the commandments of the Lord is to abide in his precepts, and it is the word of God. A nation that violates the word of God will not prosper in real joy. In Guyana, there was a sign, a big old sign in Guyana that said, education exalts the nation. But the Bible says that righteousness exalts a nation. Amen. Education doesn't. The thing is this, how you get righteousness, you have the Word of God in your life. America has been blessed by heritage rich in Scripture. Patrick Henry wrote, it cannot be stated too strongly or too loudly that America was founded by Christians with faith in Jesus Christ. John Quincy Adams wrote, the highest glory of America's revolution is that we join together government with the principles of New Testament Christianity. The thing is as we're more... Hey, brother, is there a way we could turn that down, or is that just an echo in me? But, the more we allow God's Word to remove from our society, the less joy we have prevailed in our society. If you think about how our joy in our country is turning away from God, and Christians are not really getting to the Word of God, there's less joy in our lives. You see the prevalence of wickedness grows more and more. A family that violates the Word of God or ignores the Word of God does not prosper. A Christian who violates the Word of God will not prosper. Joshua 1:8 says this, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have a good success. to abide or to meditate in the Word of God or the precepts, there will be prosperity. And not even talking about prosperity of living, but you will prosper in life. And listen, I can have abundance of money and all my kids go to hell. What is that prosperity? But I'm talking about when my kids were prosper. My kids grow up and they serve God. And then I watch my kids raise their kids and their kids get saved and live for God. That's prosperity. Watching that my grandkids, my great-grandkids grow, that's prosperity. I'm talking about we're letting God work in our life. A prosperity of the church is worthless. We have a big building, nice stuff. And we can go find a nice Catholic church. I've been in Europe and you see beautiful buildings, but it's dead inside. I'm talking about a prosper where God changes our life and we grow and we see value what God is doing in our life. But listen, if we don't abide in the Word of God and we violate it, we don't prosper. It's a simple process, but we have to violate. If I meditate, I study the precepts of the Word of God, I will prosper. And the Bible says I will have good success if I obey these truths. So the three parts abiding His precepts, meaning the abiding His precepts by what it produces joy in my life, is three things. Abiding His precepts proves our love for Him. John chapter 14, verse 15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." In chapter 15, verse 10a, it says, "If you keep my commandments." And if I keep His commandments and obey Him, I'm proving my love to Him. Chapter 14, verse 23, look at that one. It says, Jesus answered and said to him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come unto him, and make our abode with him." But you notice that there's a condition. If the man will love me and keep my what? My words, the precepts, obeying the Word of God, if I keep them, I ain't just about just I read through it and say, okay, that's what it says. But I study and I meditate and I draw closer and apply these truths in my life. It means simple things like love your neighbor. When they throw rocks at your house, you don't throw rocks back. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you love them and it's unlovable. I mean, how many times we had a boss or wrong and they do evil towards you? Do you pray for them or do you want to throw rocks at them? I mean, I was saying, my dad says, we go burn the house down. I mean, that's not Christian way. That's wrong. But you're supposed to love them. You're supposed to care for them and pray for them. But he goes on, "He that loveth me and not keepeth not my saying, the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me." He said, look, I'm telling you, it's not my words, but God Almighty sent me, Jesus saying. These are the words where I'm telling you. So our love proves, listen, our keeping the precepts proves our love. Listen, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. So the thing is, why do people need to get baptized? It proves their love that, hey, Christ saved me. It's the first step of obedience. I mean, it displays why we get baptized, because we show we love Him. When I got saved, I didn't get baptized because I needed to get more saved. I didn't get baptized just so I could join a church. My friend, I got baptized because I love God. And say, He changed my life. He saved me. I want to be obedient. Why do you read your Bible? You read it because you got to read it? Or you read it because you love Him? See, there's a difference. You hear me keep saying this. People sometimes do things trying to get God's love back to them. They say, if I obey God, I don't want to disobey God because I don't want God to be angry at me. I don't read my Bible so He won't be angry at me. He loves me no matter what. He loved me when I was a sinner. Think about it. Nothing I can do make His love for me anymore. He loved me from eternity past and eternity future. He loves me completely. He doesn't love me a little bit here and love me there. He loves us all. There's no respect of persons. That means God cares every one of us the same. But the thing is, I read because I'm obedient because I love Him. I got baptized because I love Him. I pray because I love Him, because I'll care about it. It proves my sincerity of my love. The service of my heart proves my love. Turn with me to John chapter 21. John chapter 21, verse 15. Jesus is at the end. He's talking to Peter. He says, so, verse 15. "So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon, Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said to him, Feed my lambs. Verse 16, he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, Lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, Lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love thee. Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. And the thing is, you see the word, the love, you know, we hear people preach about it, where the love that God said, the agape love, and he's referring to the love of the filial love, the fun love, the brotherly love. Listen, this is the same Peter not too long ago denied him. This is one that said to Jesus, Peter answered and said to him, Thou, though all men have offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended. But he denied him. This is St. Peter says, look, and he said to him, Lord, why can I follow thee? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Listen, he says a lot of stuff, but when the road came to the point, he didn't do it. But here we see Christ in John chapter 21. Lovest thou me more than these? More than the fish? Or is it more than the ships and things that he is business? Or is it more than the other disciples? Lovest thou me? Listen, we can say I love God, but I say I love God and don't go soul winning. Or I love God and don't go read my Bible. I love God and don't pray. What does that mean? It means nothing. Proving my sincerity to him because I love him, because I do those things. Not because I try to get his love, but I'm just doing it because I love him. Listen, it's an action we take. Christianity today has become very superficial. It's because the surface is not penetrating. I mean, Ms. King says something very important. I just keep going back to that. And I thank you for that testimony, sister. Because, you know, when you gave that track, you were giving sincerity, but you didn't do it because you were looking at somebody to pat you on the back. You wouldn't listen to me for this sermon. You was doing it because you care for the man's soul. And he knew that in the Spirit of God, the testimony affected him. I mean, when Brother Hall gave that track to that guy and said, well, you're a preacher, it affected him. Listen, listen, when we are not superficial, but we're sincere in the Spirit of God working through us, it changes lives. There's a difference. We talk the talk, but do we walk the walk? We talk about we need to pray. There's a prayer meeting at 5:30. Men, there's a prayer meeting at 5:30. Women, there's a prayer meeting at 5:30. There's importance of wine's a prayer meeting. There's importance about being in church. You know, we go to church Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. You're tired. I know. But there's a reason. We need to get around the Word of God. About devotions at home. You're tired and exhausted. You talk the talk or you walk the walk. Listen, we do it because we love God. Not for what somebody says. I'm not asking you to do those things because, as your pastor, I'm asking you. I'm asking you to do it because you love Him. That's the difference. Listen, we want to be a church, not just any other church. We want to be a Bible church. We want people to come and say, this is the Word of God. We lift the Word of God up high and follow the Word of God and say, we love Him because this is why we do these things. We pass out tracts because we love Him. We brag about Jesus because we love Him. It proves our sincerity. The body in His precepts, it proves our love for Him. Me today have heard the words Jesus says, Luke chapter 6:46. He says, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Why you call me Lord, He says, and you don't do those things? That's powerful, ain't it? He said, you love me, then obey my commandments. And I fail as your pastor. I fail things. And then I look at it and say, I look at the Word of God, and not compared to you, but I compare myself to God and say, man, I fail. I should read more, and I should pray more. I should get a hold of God more. But listen, He didn't ask me to be up here. He said, take you where you're at and take one step closer. One step at a time. Follow Him. But listen, abiding in the Word, it proves our sincerity for Him. It's keeping the Lord's command proves my desires. Not only to be partake of His grace, but partake of His holiness. Be partake of His holiness doesn't make you perfect. But listen, we're sanctified. Holiness means sanctification. It's set apart for His use. The offering place is a holy thing. It's set apart for God's use. And He set me apart to be His use. He said, be ye holy, for I am what? Holy. We need to live a holy life. We need to carry ourselves holy, not because what you may think or sister so-and-so may think or brother so-and-so may think. We do it for God, to abide in His love, to get closer to Him because we love Him, not to gain His love. He knows He loves us. But when I read the Word of God and I get close to the Word of God, it changes my life. If you keep my commandments. It's a condition. It's a choice that I make, you make. You made a choice tonight to come to church. You made a choice that says, I'm going to serve God. You made that choice. There's people that didn't go. They made that choice. Everybody loves promises. But true disciples loves the commands. A true disciple doesn't consider them grievous. 1 John 5:3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Are they grievous to you? Are they hard for you? Going to church faithfully, is that hard to you? Passing out tracts or praying or reading your Bible, is that grievous? Is that hard? Is that difficult? The flesh resists it, I understand. But listen, every time you get around the Word of God, doesn't it bless you? Is it good? I got to feed on it. I have to fight it. Don't we ever get that irritation? We get mad at somebody, your spouse or friends. Listen, when I get around the Word of God, it pushes those things aside, doesn't it? It's good. It's good to get around the Word of God. Listen, Jesus Christ, He was God in flesh, but kept God's commandments as an example. John 15:10 says, I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. He saved us. Listen, the abiding in His precept, it proves our love for Him. I show Him that I love Him. It ain't just my walk. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? You remember Peter when you denied me? But listen, Peter looked at him, he loved him. But he said this. We go back here, John 21, and it's verse 17. He says, and he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love thee. You know all things, Almighty God. You know that I love you. Listen, to the thing about Peter. He denied him and he hurt him. He hurt his Savior. But he says, I love you. I know who I am. I may fail you again, but I love you best I can possibly love you. But he takes that one step. And yet this same Peter that denied him and failed, if you call it failing, yet died, as Josephus said, upside down on the cross for his Savior. He didn't get that way from the first day. But he loved him every day. He got in the Word of God. He saw the value of him serving. Hey, listen, if you're not willing to read your Bible and pray and be faithful to God, you're not willing to die for Him. I mean, think about it. I mean, we say that I love Him so much, but I'm not going to go soul winning because it's too hot. Would you say that to Him in His face? I mean, I think of those things. I say, you know, am I doing more? Can I do more for my Savior that loved me? And as I abide in the Word of God and I get closer, I need to give myself more to God. It's more I can give Him because I love Him. And more I see what He's done for me, I understand the precepts, I can give my life more to Him. It proves my love. Abiding in His precepts, that proves our love. It provides assurance of our heart. In chapter 15, verse 10b, it says, he goes, if you keep my commandments, then he goes, ye shall abide in my love. Ye shall abide in my love. It's assurance in His love. We innerly will sense that we are His. As I abide in the Word of God, that sense of love, I know I'm His. Ye shall abide in my love, he says. Each obedience deepens my walk with Him. Each act of disobedience sears my consciousness. It makes it easier to disobey, doesn't it? It's not as easy to say, well, I don't read today, I don't have to worry about reading tomorrow. I'll get it later. Before you know it, it's a year past, 10 years past. Listen, before you know it, you ain't done nothing for God. I mean, how long you been saved? Ask yourself, how long I've been saved? I've been saved for 20 years. Well, praise God. How many people you won the Lord? You're supposed to go, don't you? You're supposed to pray for the lost. Listen, it's so easy to push it aside, isn't it? And before you know it, you push it and push it. But you notice when you get in the Word of God and you read it, it convicts you, doesn't it? It challenges you to do more. But listen, it gives me assurance that He loves me. Assurance of my heart that I have His love. The insecurities that carry on this generation, this society has doubts. Their worries. It invades a relationship with people of God. They don't even have confidence in God. People almost don't believe God anymore. I've heard, maybe you haven't heard, but I've heard many preachers say, well, brother, faith promise don't work. Brother, soul winning don't work. It does work. It never stopped working. The problem is their confidence ain't gotten strong with God because they ain't getting the Word of God. They're coming up with this new theories and new process. Let's get a rock and roll band. Let's get a band, or let's get some little singers. And listen, that I like the acapella. Is that what it is? No music. Hey, if we can't worship with music, piano, and just singing to God, there's a problem, isn't it? Listen, we sing to Him and listen to song and the music, the melody and the harmony, and it harmonizes with the melody and the rhythm. It harmonizes together, but we sing to Almighty God. It changes us. Listen, it assures our hearts of it. We have His love. Many people don't feel safe because they have doubt. Sin plus disobedience compounds doubt. When we start living in sin, people start doubting their own salvation. There's many people that come and got saved again because they thought they were saved, lost, because they were living in sin. They were living in sin. And they get doubt. How many times we wonder and we say, God is going to answer this prayer? God's going to do this? Why we doubt God? Why we don't think God can do great, mighty things in our life? Because we don't get in the Word of God. I mean, I really believe, folks, listen, if we don't have this as a foundation, this Bible here is a foundation. You know, we can say, the King James Bible, amen, excited, praise God. You want an NIV up here?
No.
What about it? ESV and the WV or HIV?
No.
We want the King James because it's the preserved Word of God, right? We love it, right? And why we don't read it? Did God answer prayers? Why we don't pray? I'm telling you. Let's be home. Let's be real for a second. Can we say we pray faithfully? Can we say I'm always reading my Word of God? We fail, don't we? And we start getting pushed things aside. And listen, that's where disobedience come in. Disobedience is sin. Mistake, folks, is a sin. We like to candy coat it. But mistake and a little ups is sin. Sin is sin. And the thing is, when you get into sin, it starts causing us the doubt things, and we're not keeping the Word of God. But keeping His commandments help us abide in the confidence and love of God. Listen, I stand here and I look, and I promise you, I look at you and go, are they getting it? Have you lost? Are y'all, am I here? You know what? I'm not preaching for you to hear me. I'm preaching so you can get the Word of God and say, you know what? I believe God. I'm going to push a little further. I'm going to get a hold of God. If I'm not reading, I'm going to read. I'm not sowing, I'm going to go sowing it. Am I going to be faithful? I'm going to do the things. I'm not tithing, bless God, I'm going to start tithing. If I'm not doing this, I'm going to do this. If I'm not loving my brothers or my enemies, I should be loving them. If I'm not seeing with the eyes of Christ, I'm going to start seeing as Christ sees the people. I should get closer to God and walk with God. And people see God in my life. It's funny that how people, all of us are mixed of different group of people. We have struggles and we don't agree with everything. But you know what? We're here to reconcile and grow together, aren't we? But it's for Christ. For God to work in our life, to get closer. 1 John 2:3 says, and hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. And hereby we, what? We do know, it says, we do know that we know Him. When I study the Word of God, I know Him. I get closer to Him because I keep His commandments. And I see it and I start abiding in the Word of God closer. Your assurance and your love. And this next one is an assurance that builds maturity. 1 John 2:5 says, but whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in Him. Perfected means maturity. My heart is perfected or matured through life and abiding in His Word. As I get closer to God, I get more mature to understand the Word of God. Listen, the Word of God helps mature my life. First Psalms 119:11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And we think about that. But the thing is, more I hide the Word of God and memorize and study the Word of God, and I get closer to God, it helps me to stop and say, that's wrong. It helps me not going further. I didn't know it was really wrong to smoke. I said, what's the big deal? But as I read the Word of God, I seen it was wrong in the Word of God. Listen, it affected me because I couldn't win somebody to Jesus Christ. That bothered me. But as I grew and matured in the Word of God, I realized I need to live a little bit higher, have a higher standard, and live more for God. It helps me. Our goal is the Word of God to mature, to study the Word of God, and study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. As I matured, I studied and I understand, and I could divide and break it more up and understand that how this applies. How the Old Testament, it reveals the new. I mean, new reveals the old. You know what I'm saying? I can see the bigger picture. It ain't just two different books. It's all one. I can see the salvation and grace in Noah's day or Adam's day, and it is today. I see God working. I can see how it's all about God, and Christ is the hub. I can see it in his life as I mature in the Word of God. There's a guy named Captain Scott O'Grady. June 2nd, I forgot what year it was. He was flying F-16 over Bosnia, that no-fly zone. Do you remember the time? It was 1990s, that time period. He got shot out of the sky by the Serb missile. He said the plane disintegrated. He pulled the eject lever and he parachuted to the Serb-held territory. Now, all he had was his faith in God and his recall of his commands. For the next 6 days, he said, he covered his ears with his gloves, he buried his face in the dirt, and he survived on insects and rainwater. Finally, on the sixth night, he radioed the F-16 overhead, and within hours, the Marines rescued him. The thing is this, all he had is faith in God and what he memorized in the Word of God to get him through those struggles. The thing is, life, we're going to get shot down, aren't we? We're going to get hurt. And we're going to be alone. All you really have is your faith in God and the Word of God. And you know, the thing is this, all I got is the Scriptures that carries me through. David, everybody wanted to kill David, but he strengthened himself in the Lord, the Word of God. He encouraged himself in the Word of God. That's all we have at times in our life. We abide in his precepts. It gives assurance that we may prevail. It proves our love. It proves our assurance. But listen, abiding in his precepts promotes a loving spirit. In verse 10 of chapter 15, he says, "Ye keep my commandments. Ye shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Abiding in his precepts caused my love for him and for others to grow. My love for others, in chapter 15, verse 18, he says this, "If the world hated you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." Listen, they're going to hate us because they hated him. They hated righteousness. But we're not doing it because of them. We're not doing it because what somebody else thinks. We do it because we love him. We abide in his Word of God, the Word, and it challenges us to love others. Listen, Romans 5:8 says, "He commended his love towards us while we're yet sinners. Christ died for us." He loved me where I'm at. He didn't love me to where I got better. He loved me where I'm at. And as I look at the sinners, I see the need because I love him. Because remember, he loved God. He did it for him. And listen, we should love the others because the more we get in the Word of God, we see the need for others. John 13:34 says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I loved you, that ye also love one another." 1 John 3:23 tells us, "And this is the commandment, that ye should believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he has gave us commandments." You know, I wrote this down, Ephesians 4:32, it says, "And be ye kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." You know, when people do us wrong, we struggle, I have to forgive because remember how he forgave me? He loved me. And when people, it's hard to forgive. But I love him. And the more I get close to God, it's easier to forgive others because I love him. If you're not have a forgiving spirit,
Because you ain't in the Word of God. If you're not willing to forgive, you're not in the Word of God. The Word of God teaches what we need to forgive. The Word of God needs to care about others. Why is it so important to win the lost? Why is it so important to pray for the lost? Why is it so important to pray for one another in their sickness and health? Bobby had just his tooth, just his tooth. Brother Irv had a major condition. Does it matter? He hurts. You're praying for us, we're traveling through. Listen, we pray for one because we do it because we love God, but yet that we get closer to the Word of God, we care for others. It proves our love to Him. Listen, it proves our love, it gives assurance in our heart that He loves us, and it provides a loving spirit. If we want love, respect in a society, we must get the Word of God out. In 1980, it was a court case called Ring versus Grand Forks Public School, District 1 in North Dakota. They were posting the Ten Commandments all through the classroom. And they called it unconstitutional because they had the Ten Commandments school. The fear is that if the students read them, they might obey them. Somebody cared about those kids. But our Constitution, they're saying the Supreme Court said, not our Constitution, but the Supreme Court said, no. We don't love our kids. But listen, if we want a better society, we have to have the Word of God. We need to abide in the Word of God. These truths I'm telling you is nothing new, is it? But all I was trying to do is bring out in alignment the basic foundation to abide in, to have victory. We've got to abide in the Word of God. If you don't have joy in your life, then you've got to get in the Word of God. It proves our love. It gives it gives assurance in our heart that He loves us. We have confidence that He cares about us, that I can pray that He cares about my prayers. That even my little girls, Rebecca, that little girl there can pray in her ability, what she can do, and she can reach God and pray for her daddy or pray for you. It's amazing that God cares, doesn't He? He cares about who we are and what we want to do. But listen, I can't make them love God. But when they get in the Word of God and God has challenged their hearts, He shows Himself to them, and guess what happens? They have a more love for Him. And they have a more love for Him, then they'll start loving others for Him. Abiding is priest that proves our love. It's not talking one thing and doing another. It provides assurance in our hearts. It promotes a loving spirit. The thing is we've got to get in the Word of God. If you're struggling with joy, again, get in the Word of God. It challenges. It helps us. It gives over those situations. Because, you know, we go through days and trials in our life. It gets dark. And we feel alone. But He knows our problems. And He helps us through that. He gives us peace that nobody else can give us peace. But you got to abide in the Word of God. You have to not just read it. You got to meditate on it. You just got to start using it and apply it in your life. And God then starts working. The enemies curse you. You love them, don't you? You pray for them that's unforgivable. You forgive them before they even ask for forgiveness. It's tough, ain't it? But He loved you, didn't He? And listen, He did it for us. If you love me, if ye love me. It's a choice, ain't it? Let's stand with our heads bowed, eyes closed.